Hello, this is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. We're going to talk with Chad Gibney, who is the head women's basketball coach at Western Nebraska Community College. He was a manager slash graduate manager for six seasons at Wichita State under former coach Greg Marshall from 2010 to 2016. Chad is for the Cougars of Western Nebraska. They are 28-5 in his first season, 29-5, 29-4, 28-2. This abbreviated or delayed season, I guess, they are 4-1 and ranked number 14th nationally. Chad, was coaching always your intended career path?
Yeah, you know, I had gone down to Wichita State and had an opportunity to learn from some great coaches and knew that knew I wanted to get into that profession and figured there wasn't a better way to start, you know, than being around a top-notch program every single day.
Did you come in college coaching as your goal, high school coaching? How do you make that decision?
Yeah, I think the initial goal was to do college, and figuring that could always potentially fall back into high school coaching and get your teaching certificate and do some things like that. But the initial goal was to coach college. And obviously that's kind of the route that have continued over the years.
Why did you choose Wichita State as the place to get started?
Well, you know, I was fortunate. My dad had known Chris Jans, who was an assistant at the time. They had talked because they had both played basketball at the same college. Not at the same time, but they'd known each other through some of the Hall of Fame events there. Chris said that if he wants to get involved in college coaching, you know, that it would be a great idea to become a manager and be around a program every day. That's how I was able to get involved initially. It was definitely, you know, one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Was there a moment or, a time period where you look back and you say, boy, that's when I really realized this was the right decision and this was the career I wanted to chase?
You know, I don't know if I could pinpoint an exact moment. You know, I just remember enjoying it every single day. And being in such a competitive atmosphere and being able to learn and absorb so much information, I just enjoyed that process. And then being at a great place like Wichita State, there was just so many good people. And so when you surround yourself with those good people, it makes every day really enjoyable. And it just kind of happened, I think, over time of knowing that this is what I want to do.
People probably have a vague idea about what managers do for a basketball program such as Wichita State's, and they certainly see you. You're one of the army of people usually in ties on the bench. But take us through, what are some of the job duties that were most important during your time at Wichita State?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing was just trying to make everybody's life as easy as possible and not having them have to worry about the minor details of an operations of a program. So whether that's, helping with getting a post-game meal or making sure that guys have the correct gear that they need for games or helping, just run the day-to-day operations of a huge college athletic program. Our coaches, they needed to be worried about they need to be worried about recruiting the best players and making sure scouts are on points for games. And so we wanted them to be able to, we wanted them to be able to do that. And then from the player standpoint, we need them to be able to produce on the floor and we need them to be able to just handle their academics. So some of that, day-to-day organizational stuff, just helping with that so that everybody can be on the same page.
Did you ever get to use those big pads, the blocking pads during post drills and kind of hammer away on some of the big guys?
I did. I think that's when you realize just how big and strong some of those guys are. Me with a pad, and I felt like sometimes I was getting hit harder than I was delivering the hit. That's for sure.
I always think that must be one of the more fun parts about being a manager is your opportunity to kind of wail away at some of those big guys at times. You would have been around so many great coaches, people that went on to head coaches, be head coaches in addition to Greg Marshall, Steve Forbes, Chris Jans. Greg Heyer hasn't been a head coach, but he's a very successful assistant coach. Tell us a little bit about something you may have picked up from some of those people you worked with.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the reasons which Tough State has been so successful, you know, over the tenure is just because of the staff and how well put together they were. And I think really what I took every single day was just how hard those guys worked. You know, they were constantly working, they were constantly grinding, and then just the attention to detail and the high level of accountability that there was throughout the program. You know, those practices were absolute wars. And every single day, all those coaches, they were completely locked into their responsibilities. And it was amazing how much was able to be accomplished throughout practice and how much better teams got throughout the season. So I think those things, and then obviously just the nuances of the game, you know, that maybe the details that don't get taught by every single staff, I think they were taught at Wichita State, you know, and I think that made players significantly better year in, year out. And so I'm certainly extremely thankful for that.
What are some examples? What are some details that that maybe stood out to you that are important but maybe easily overlooked?
Well, I think first of all, I think they do a great job of emphasizing. I thought they did a great job of having different assistants emphasize things throughout practice. You know, I've gone on to watch other practices, and it seems like, you know, there might only be one coach really coaching. Where I thought at Wichita State, everybody was coaching something on every single possession, which led to such a high level of accountability. You know, and just, you know, Coach Marshall did such a fantastic job with his offense system of teaching, of just teaching the timing on all the set plays. And then, you know, when you look at the scouting and what they're able to take away, you know, and being able to look at all that stuff, it was just elite.
I always describe practices as crackling with kind of intensity, and that's you can't quantify that. It's kind of a hard thing, but boy, there was just a feel when you walked into a practice. And I think it's the same way with, it's one of the things I've watched recently. I think it feels the same way with Isaac Brown. But the thing that stood out to me about Greg Marshall's practices were the way they crackled with intensity, and then his great memory. You know, they could go up and down the court four or five times, and then when he needed to stop it, he could stop it and he could recreate what had been happening. So from your perspective, when you are trying to recreate that kind of a high level practice, how do you go about that when, you know, when you're in charge?
Well, the very first thing is obviously we need to recruit the right players that want to work and that want to get better. And so if we can get the right people in, that's obviously the initial first start. But then I just think it comes back to that high level of accountability. And if players see that you're going to give them, you know, the option, then they're going to take the easy route, you know, more often than not. And that's where I think the players need to know that they don't have an option when it comes to the level of work that we want to put in and the level of intensity that needs to be a practice. And when those expectations are set and set early, I think there's a good chance to have a high level of intensity.
How many drills or maybe plays do you run Jacksonville? Do you run 37 Virginia option? How many of those things have you borrowed from your time at Wichita State for Western Nebraska?
We've borrowed a handful. There's still a handful of drills that we use, you know, almost daily, you know, just within our practices, you know, and then there's a couple set plays. I think it's, you know, I still have my memory and, you know, have had all that stuff jotted down over the years. So still have all that. And it just kind of depends on the year, on our personnel, on what we do offensively. But certainly from a drill and from the drill standpoint, and from, I think from the culture standpoint, as far as how we want to work and the high level of accountability, there's a lot of similarities, that I was fortunate enough to be able to take from Wichita State.
Yeah. Did you keep a notebook? How do you kind of retain all this stuff that you saw over 6 years at Wichita State?
Yep. And so I took notes throughout my whole 6 years, at Wichita State, just to make sure whether it's sayings, whether it was actions, whether it was drills, what to do in certain situations. I tried to keep all that stuff, and probably need to go back and reorganize some of it, because a lot of them are just thoughts and a little bit random places. But I've got a lot written down, because sometimes it's easy, it's so easy over time to forget all the stuff that you've learned and gone over the years. So to have that all written down, I go back and look through it. I typically go back and look through it at least once a month.
Who is a non-Wichita State coach that you admire, that you've borrowed some things from?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's been a little bit of a transition, just because the men's and the women's game is different. And so I've had to make some adjustments just based on that. Some that I've really borrowed from, I would say on the men's side, I really like what Bob Huggins does in their press and their toughness to be able to go rebound. So we've looked at some of their pressing stuff. The junior college game does get up and down, probably at a rate that's borderline out of control at times. So we have borrowed some of that pressing stuff from West Virginia. And I just love the toughness and tenacity that his teams play with. And then on the women's side, I think just looking at some of the offensive clips, just because I think offensively, the game is a little bit different, and it has to be a little bit more structured and patterned on the women's side. There's been a couple coaches, that we've taken just offensive stuff from, going through synergy and all that stuff.
I went up to the basketball office to prospect for questions to ask Chad Gibney. I'm told you are a big time shooter, and you modeled your game after Steve Nash. That's what your former opponents in manager games said. Are you still playing basketball? Do you still get pickup games going?
Haven't played as much. I wish, have played a little bit, us and the men's staff, have played a little bit, and then every once in a while get a run in with a handful of guys. But, with COVID, it's pretty much stopped since March. So, that's something that, that's something that I'll have to hopefully pick up here again fairly soon. I'm sure I'd be a little rusty whenever we flip this thing back on.
Who among your manager opponents was particularly tough to guard?
Gosh, we had so much fun. We had so much fun playing over the years, and just a fun group of guys to play with. We played a lot of intramurals together, with Blake Peniston, who was our post player, and Drew Hurdle, who was a really nice player. He played at an NAIA, I think, before he became a manager, and Connor Dick and Ryan Hillard. And most importantly, we just really enjoyed playing together and gave us something to do. As we watch basketball all day, it gave us a chance to go out and get a sweat and really just enjoy, the game that we love.
No question. Steve Nash, is he your favorite NBA guy?
Yeah, he definitely was growing up. Just the pace that he played with, the unselfishness, the ability to knock down shots. That's what uh, you know, as a kid and when was playing in junior high and high school, you know, that's who I love to watch.
He is a good one, no doubt. Okay, take us to 2016. You go to Western Nebraska as the men's basketball assistant coach. In January of 2017, that same first season, you take over as head women's basketball coach. Take us through that. How did that responsibility go for you?
Yeah, you know, it was a really unique year. And so I was in my first year of, you know, kind of a full-time position. I had got hired by Corey Faringer, who's a really great junior college coach. You know, and so we honestly was just locked in on you know, the men's side and making sure that we were signing good players, and starting to build the culture that we wanted to, you know, in his first season. You know, and then there were some issues, within the women's program. You know, there was a change. Coach resigned, kind of in the middle of the year. And they asked me if I wanted to take over, you know, just to survive and get through that season. You know, and Corey was super supportive. He thought it'd be a great opportunity for me, you know, to kind of learn as you go and be able to make some mistakes as a head coach that first season. So took over and, you know, I honestly hadn't watched a ton of women's basketball, you know, and just kind of took it in stride and had an opportunity to lead for a couple months. You know, and we were fortunate to have some pretty talented players. And they did a great job of kind of adjusting to my style. And we had a really successful first year.
How is the job of getting a job in college basketball, the networking, all those kind of things, how's it different for a person who, like yourself, did not play college basketball as opposed to someone who did? I think there are plenty of people who didn't play college basketball that went your route of manager, video coordinator, those kind of things, and turned it into a coaching career. What's different about it for someone like yourself?
Well, you know, it does put you probably behind the eight ball a little bit as far as, you know, you don't have that experience of playing and maybe that your name isn't quite as known. But where that comes in is that's where, you know, if you do a great job of being a manager and working, you know, with a staff, you know, I know that they did a ton for me, you know, to help me get my foot in the door with a handful of different junior colleges. And so that staff was fantastic. You know, they made phone calls for me. They recommended me, you know, and then I was fortunate enough to be able to go up on an interview and get an opportunity. But that's where I really relied on those guys. And I'm extremely thankful, you know, for all the assistants and Coach Marshall, for everything that they did, you know, for me over my time at Wichita State.
Did you plan to get into women's basketball?
I did not. I did not at all. It just kind of fell into my lap. And like I said, I just kind of took that opportunity that first year, you know, just to gain some experience and be a head coach, thinking that it would be, you know, about a 3-month thing. You know, and as it went along, I really, really enjoyed it. And I think that my personality really fit, you know, fits the women's game. And so I think coaching wise, you're always going to coach to your personality a little bit. And it just really worked out well. Had no initial plan to do that. You know, but life throws you curveballs all the time. And I'm extremely happy with that decision. And, you know, I guess four or five years later, here I am, and don't plan on going back. Don't plan on going back to the men's side.
What do you remember about your first game as head coach? What kind of emotions were going through your body as tip off approached?
Well, it's actually interesting. So we played. We had a Friday Saturday. We had a Friday Saturday game, and I still remember it. We played the school on Friday, and we went out, and I think we set the school record for threes that night. Maybe made 14 of them. I think we won by 40. I was like, you know, I was wondering, is it always going to be this easy? And then the very next night, we actually got 2-3 zone and shot, I think, 17% on the game and ended up losing by 4. So it was definitely a tale it was a tale of two completely different games on that first weekend. And I was kind of wondering to myself, what am I getting myself into? It's actually interesting because that weekend before last night, that was the last game that we had lost at home. So we'd won 53 in a row. And then we got upended last night, and we got upended my first weekend on the job.
So during that first season, you were practicing with the men, coaching with the men, then you would have the women. Was there a mental switch that had to be flipped between being assistant coach for the men then going to head coach for the women, or vice versa?
Absolutely. And so our practices are back to back. So I was in the gym there pretty much every day, 11 to 4 straight. And you know, the women's obviously, you know, you had to be the one conducting practice and being in charge, and kind of oversee a little bit of everything. And you know, you got to be the voice that leads practice. And then on the men's side, it's more, okay, what details do I need to make sure that we're sorting out? What do we want to emphasize? You know, because I need to focus on maybe this position group or this skill, so that we're able to help improve our team and maybe, you know, knock it up a level or two. You know, I think a lot of times the head coach is really the one that controls the offense, and the assistants are much more defensive based. And I know that's how it was for me that first year at Western Nebraska. Is tried to do everything I could, you know, to help our defense.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself more of a defensive coach, more of an offensive coach?
I would say I definitely tend to lean on the defense and rebounding. Yeah, I'm just a firm believer, especially in the college game, when everything is single elimination, that if the best thing we do is make jump shots, we're going to get beat. And so we definitely lean on defense and rebounding, and trying to make sure that defense leads to offense.
Your teams are generally scoring in the 80s. You're usually top 15, top 20 in the nation. And yet you rarely turn the ball over. You're maybe around 11, 12 turnovers a game, which is a very Greg Marshall thing to do. How do you coach that style of play on offense?
Well, I think it starts by having great point guard play. And so I've been fortunate to have our last two point guards, one's at LSU, and the other one was a first team All-American. That's averaging 20 points a game now in Division I. So that helps initially. And then I think the big thing is we work on our passing and catching, and we work on advancing the ball up the floor, you know, every single day. And we put a huge emphasis on it. You know, I think you're going to be great at what you emphasize and what you practice every single day. And you really can't hit necessarily everything. But we want to make sure that's one thing that we do is value the ball. And so we're constantly working on passing, catching, advancing the ball, and making layups. And so I think that's one thing that we've done really well, you know, over our time here.
Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, is in Western Nebraska. You are significantly closer to Denver than you are Lincoln or Omaha. How do you go about building a recruiting strategy for that school?
Yeah, and that's the challenge, is that there are not a ton of players, you know, within a close proximity. And so kind of how we look at things is we've got to get a mix. And so we do try to do some international recruiting. We try to get, you know, 3-4 international players. And then we feel we need to get players out of Colorado. So the best junior college type players out of Colorado, we need to be able to grab. And then typically we've had more success getting guards out of the Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana area than we have down south. And I don't know if that's weather-based or what it is, but we seem to have more success diving into those areas, you know, than necessarily going down south.
What was your favorite Missouri Valley Conference road trip?
Ooh, gosh, that's a good one. We had some good times on the road, no doubt about it. good question. I would say Springfield, Missouri, Missouri State was always a good one. I think Cedar Falls was always kind of fun when we were still a little bit younger. Those trips were fun too. You know, sometimes the game was always pretty tough. You know, but I think I enjoyed every spot in the valley a little bit. You know, it seems like Coach O'Connor always had us lined up to go eat something really good, and you know, every city had a little bit of something. You know, I've got a memory, I think, from about each town.
Favorite moment as a Shocker manager? Locker room after a big win, during a game. What memories jump out at you from your time at Wichita State?
You know, I think my favorite memories are just getting, you know, I think some of the closest friends that I have are people that I met around the Wichita State program. And so, you know, I think that was the biggest thing. Favorite moment. I mean, I go back, and obviously that Kansas Wichita State game was extremely fun. You know, and then really that entire 35 and in 1 year, I thought all year was just a blast. And talk about a great staff to work for. Talk about great guys to be around every day. You couldn't enjoy it anymore. That's for sure. You know, and then I think finally winning in St. Louis was pretty fun as well.
That's a good one. I would not have thought of that one. So you would have been on the bench for the famous comeback at Missouri State during that 35-1 season. How nervous were you at any point? Did you say, well, this just isn't our night?
You know, I mean, you got there. I think what always made you feel a little bit comfortable was that backcourt. You know, they just never seemed, they never seemed rattled, and always figured that had a chance, to win the game, you know, with those three. Those guys were absolutely incredible. Not only just incredible players, but incredible people on how they handled their business. And so, you know, never felt completely out of it. But certainly was a little nervous there.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.